All right, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Memhei in Bechoros. We are back on the Mishnah on Memdalad Amud Beis. Okay, seventh parak, only a little bit more to go. I'm not going to say we're going to finish today, because we're not. But I will say, though, that we'll, Mirtzeshem, we'll finish tomorrow. Seventh parak, short parak, three daf of Bechoros, of Mum Shebekohen, blemishes in a Kohen. Right, it's a little bit of a deviation from where we are in terms of Bechoros, the subject matter itself of the Masechta. We're dealing with firstborn animals, but we talked about blemishes of a firstborn animal, and so it is an appropriate time for Rabbi Yehuda Nasi to teach us what would be a blemish regarding a person as well. The Psukim in Parshas Emor give us a very short list of that which would render a Kohen to be a Baal Mum, to be a blemished Kohen. At which point in time he can no longer serve and do the avoda. We already pointed out, this is hopefully the third day I'm now saying it, but that's good though, because eventually, you know, it starts to sink in. But there are basically three categories in terms of blemishes that would render a Kohen disqualified. Number one, the ones that are mentioned in the Torah and defined by the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that is what we call category number one. And basically anything which is also a blemish regarding an animal, also, if a Kohen had that kind of blemish, that also would be category number one. And that is a Psul D'Oraisa plus, with Malkus plus, the Avoda is Mechula, meaning any Avoda that he does, if he has one of these blemishes, is totally profaned. Two, second category is where the Kohen is Enu Shavah L'Zerah Shel Aharon, doesn't look like one of the descendants of Aharon, at which point in time now, which is most of the seventh parak, most of what we're describing today, is Enu Shav L'Zerah Shel Aharon, although you'll see later on this morning, we're going to go back to the Pesukim, we're going to darshan the Pesukim again, but Enu Shav L'Zerah Shel Aharon is also Psul D'Oraisa, right? Hard to put into terms what exactly the Psul is, but it's going to disqualify. The Avodah is not Mechulal. So in other words, if the Kohen violates the prohibition of doing the avoda, what exactly the prohibition is, I quoted Rashi earlier. Rashi says it's a lav haba mechal ase. It's not even a lav. It's not even a negative prohibition. It's just a iser ase, meaning you have to look like Zerah Shel Aharon. So if you do the avoda while having one of these blemishes, the avoda is still going to be a good avoda, b'di'evid, post facto. And then there's a third category, which is Mars Ayin. I was asked yesterday, I don't have an answer, categorically, what's the difference between category number two and category number three? I know one's a psul d'oraisa and one's a psul d'rabbanan, that part I got. But practically, lamaisa, what's the difference? Especially according to Rashi, who says you don't get malchus for category number two. So I don't know what then would be some practical differences between two versus three. Okay. Mem Daled, Amud Beis, somewhat delicate Gemara coming up, Mishnah Gemara coming up. As right now, we're going to go over anatomical deformities of a Kohen. Some of them are just a little bit delicate. Mishnah, we're on the top of the daf. Dan Shochem Kishel Isha. So he has an enormously large body. The first thing the Mishnah describes is that his chest is too large, right? And the Dadim Shochem Kishel Isha, it almost looks like a woman's chest. So Kreso Tzava, or if his belly is too big, Tiburo Yotze. Right, this is in the scientific world we call this an Audi. So the that's also a psul, and hard to imagine. By the way, just my thoughts, but you know they're worth whatever. But I don't think we're really discussing just a simple Audi, because something like that is, you know, what I would call normal. It sounds almost like there was like a hernia, and there was like a real.
He says 10% of the population have an Audi.
10%. Only 10%? Really?
That's what it says.
Listen, he does his
research. You should contemplate it. 10%.
Only 10%? Okay. Well, as we're going to go on in the Mishnah, we're going to go to more delicate areas of the human body, and you have to understand also back then, like the bathhouse was very frequented and very common. Right, nowadays we, you know, our bathing practices are much more private. Back then, their bathing practices were much more public. So I guess one other reason to thank God that you live in the 21st century. Although back then, culturally, it was just much more accepted that they would bathe together, and they would, you know, they'd have a schwitz, and it was just much more culturally accepted. So, okay, so Tibur Yotze, so the outing. Nichbe, afilu achas liyamim. It sounds like epileptic seizures. Sounds like that, right? So he has, even if it's once in a while, that's a psul. It's interesting because that's not a physical deformity. It's a condition, no question about it, but it kind of like, it kind of takes us away from what we're describing over here in terms of just general physical deformities. Ruach Kitsara. Now, Rashi over here is going to say that he's possessed, right? Possessed by a shade. Now, Rashi never has a problem turning to the supernatural. Rashi is very comfortable with that. You only can guess correctly that the Rambam doesn't go for such explanations, as he is a pure rationalist. So he'll say it's something more like a depression, right? The Kohen suffering from some form of psychological depression. It's interesting. The Rambam never goes to the metaphysical, but he will often turn to the psychological, meaning he will use psychological explanations. So the here he would explain that this is the man who's depressed. I'm sorry, Ruach Kitzara Ba'alav. Ha Me'ushvan Uval Gever. Me'ushvan, Rashi says, is that his base of are large, and Baal Gever is that his gid is large, too large, meaning beyond what is considered normal. The Gemara starts off, Amar Rabbi Abba Bered Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Mashtina Maim Bifnei Rabbim, Vein Shosen Maim Bifnei Rabbim. Okay, this one line of Gemara probably will stay with you for a while. There'll be a couple of Gemaras come up today that'll stay with you for a while. Hopefully all the Gemaras stay with you for a while, but this one is an interesting one. You can urinate in public. Not you can urinate in public. You actually should urinate in public, but don't eat in public. Okay, don't eat in public. Rashi points out the Rambam felt very strongly about this as well. You read this in Hilchos Deos. It's not the way of a Talmid Chacham to eat in public, right? Rashi says, quote the Rashi in the first Rashi in the Gemara. Derech Talmid Chacham liot sanua ba'achil v'shtia. It is proper for a Talmid Chacham to be modest in how he eats and drinks, and shouldn't eat on the run, shouldn't drink on the run. Right? Should be done all in a private area. Now, you contrast that with the next part of the statement, which is, but when it comes to urinating, urinate in public. Right? That sounds like a breach of tznius. So Rashi goes on to explain, but that's important, though. In other words, it's important to, if you have the need to go, it's important to go. Rashi continues to write, Aval lahato mayim lo lehavit sanua shema yamtin v'yistakein. The Gemara felt it was very, very medically unsafe. It's from a health standpoint to hold in your urine. So if you needed to go to the bathroom, not in preparation for davening, which is a separate halacha, that you should go check yourself before you daven, but just in general, the Gemara feels very strongly that you should, if you have the need to go, you should not hold it in. So, and even though the Gemara acknowledges it's a breach of tznius, there's no question about it, to have to urinate in public. I understand that, but the Gemara means in front of people. You'll see. I'm right in just a moment. The Gemara understands that it's a breach of tznius, but on the other hand, there's also sakanas nefashos. So when you balance the two, your health is more important than tznius in this regard. So okay. So Mashin Maim Bifnei Rabbim, Vein Shosen Maim Bifnei Rabbim, Tanya Nami Halchi, the Gemara quotes a Brice, the Brice says same. Mashin Maim Bifnei Rabbim, Vein Shosen Maim Bifnei Rabbim, Maisa Becha Shabikesh Lashem Maim Velo Hishtin. There was the Gemara, I think this is still part of the Brice. There was a story once with a person who needed to go to the bathroom, held it in, Venimso Kreso Tzava, and he got a bloated stomach on account of the fact that he did not urinate. Shmuel Itzterech Lebe Shabbasa Derigla. The Gemara tells the story with Shmuel. Now Shmuel was the Rosh Hashiva of the time, also was a man of science, knew astronomy, knew medicine. He needed to go to the bathroom with Shabbasa Derigla. Shabbasa Derigla, Rashi says, we're talking about the big public lecture right before Yontif, 30 days before Yontif. So the Rosh Hashiva gets up there and he starts darshaning about Yontif. So that was what we're talking about. And Shmuel now is in front of a lot of people, and he needed to go to the bathroom. So, Nagdule Glima, Nagdule Glima. So what they do, so they held up a sheet in front of him so that he was able to urinate and so that people wouldn't have to see. Okay. The Gemara, Asa Lekame de Avua. So now he goes back to his father, right? This is the famous Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, which the Gemara quotes all the time, although for whatever reason he's not named. So he goes to his father, Amarle Eten Lach Dalad Meot Zuze Vizil Ahavdar Uvda. So his father said, you know, I give you 400 zuz if we can go back and do that again. Meaning, listen carefully, this is interesting. Meaning, I don't like the fact that you have people cover you with a sheet. I didn't like that. In other words, if you needed to go, you should go publicly, even though people are going to see you, even though that's a lack of tznius. But in other words, you're a model for everyone else. Everyone else is going to watch what you're doing, and you are going to wait for people to put sheets up in order to go urinate. And his father says to him, that's not right. Now people from this point forward are going to say to themselves, well, I remember I was at a public lecture and I saw Shmuel and he needed to go and he waited for the sheets to go up. And his father said, I give you 400 zuz. 400 zuz is a lot of money. I give you 400 zuz if you could do that again. I mean, take it back and do it over and do it properly, which is, and here I know it's strange, but proper means urinate without having to wait for the sheets. At Efshalach, because look, he explains to his son, you can do that, meaning you're Shmuel. So you can snap your fingers and you can have people put sheets up for you. Delo Efshalay, Listakein. But what about the people who can't? Which is most of the people that are attending the shiur right now. they're gonna wait for a private moment and they're gonna come to Sakana. So Shmuel's father really reprimanded him, you didn't do right by waiting for the sheets. Mar Bravash Yitzrach Aguda Gamla. Here's another one of those Gemaras, which is going to be hard to forget. Mar Bar Ashi, he needed to go to the bathroom. He was walking Aguda Gamala, along some sort of wall. Ashton. And he urinated. He needed to go, so he went to the bathroom. Amarle Chamosech Kasi. So he says, your mother-in-law is coming. Okay? So, in other words, maybe now is not the best time. So Amarlehu, so he says to them, right, sounds like a group of people, Amar lahu bi'udna, in her ear. Now, Rashi writes, you can't make this stuff up. Rashi writes, afil besoch azna, hayisi matil mayim. Even if I need to do it in her ear, I would do it in her ear. Im lo hayala makam acher konim sha'amtim v'kol shekem b'faneha. Meaning, if she wasn't there, I would do it. If she was here, I'd do it as well. Meaning, again, the basic idea behind the Gemara is, they felt it to be super important. In other words, sakana, like a real sakana snafashos, if you have the need to go to the bathroom and you don't go to the bathroom. Now, v'tepekle mishamaka, now the Gemara wonders, in other words, all this was based on a medical episode where someone held it in and his stomach bloated. And the Gemara is basically questioning the diagnosis. The Gemara says, how do you know the stomach bloating had anything to do with him holding it in? Good. So the Gemara's answer, I'm sorry, Tepuk Le Mishum Alaka. Maybe it's because he swallowed a leech. Maybe that's why he has a stomach bloating. How are you so confident about your diagnosis? So the Gemara's answer, one word answer, Bishoses. Answer is, it was dripping out. Meaning he didn't have a strong stream coming out. It was dripping out. So clearly, by holding it in, it was a disruption somehow of his urinary tract. Don't look for me for more explanation better than that. But in other words, but it was clear based on now his urination from that point forward that this had to do with the fact that he held it in. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa. Shnei Nekavim Yesh Bo Ba'adam. There are two tubes running through the aver, through the male aver. Now, I'm a little bit aware. I know that nowadays we don't have two tubes. We have one urethra in which both the zera and the shesta and the urine go through. Okay? But you could say nishchana hateva. You could say that nature has changed. It's possible to say that. Shnei nekavim yesh bo ba'adam echa motzi shestan ve'ocha motzi shechvat zera. Again, but from the Gemara's perspective, however, so the Gemara believed that it was two tubes running alongside one by another. And there's a thin membrane separating the two, and it's thin. It's thin like the peel of garlic. The Gemara says one could lead to impotency if there is a break of that membrane that keep these two tubes separate. Okay. Amr Ish Lakish my dich.
That's not the way it is anymore?
No.
Maybe that's
out of. You are, yeah, I'd like a defense of the Gemara.
No,
But they end up going through the.
They come
from two tubes.
Yeah. Right. So maybe it's talking about.
Uh-huh. So maybe it's at that juncture that the Gemara is describing.
Right.
Okay. Good. Amar Shlakish Ma Dichsev Lo Yibek Akar VeAkar VeVemtecha. So the pasuk says that there shouldn't be an akar v'akara, and the Gemara is going to darshan the pasuk not in a way you and I would have darshan, but the Gemara is going to darshan. Amos Lo Yibecha Akar. When are we going to avoid sterility? When we act like animals, meaning that if we need to urinate, so without seeking a private area, but just like an animal would go anywhere and any time, so too, in terms of urinating, so we should behave the same way. And if we do that, so then we won't lead to sterility. I'm Rav Yeshua Malei V'lo Yeh Becha Akar Min HaTalmidim V'Akara Shelo Tei Tfilascha Akura Lifnei HaMakom. Gemara is going to give another drush, although it sounds very similar. You shouldn't be akar min haTalmidim, meaning you should have students. And akara is a reference to your davening. Your davening also is not going to be barren. Meaning you daven to Hashem, Hashem is going to not just listen, but listen and respond. And when is that true? When you behave like an animal, again, same punchline. That you go, that you urinate and you don't wait to urinate. You urinate even in public. When you urinate, don't urinate in a kli cheres into earthenware bowls, right? Again, not toilets, but they had bowls. V'lo amakum kasha, and don't urinate on hard ground, meaning ground that does not absorb the urine. What's the problem? Da amarav hani madur debava mahadre mayin la'ein etam, because what happens is that water from Bavel flows to a Ein Etam, some sort of well, which is Ein Etam, Rashi points out, this leads to a water source that runs alongside the Beis HaMikdash, where the Kohen Gadol is going to Tovel, and so you can only imagine, inappropriate for that water to be infested with urine. So, okay, is this geographically sound where Bavel water is going to flow to Eretz Yisrael? So, again, I'm not informed enough. Amar Abaye Ha'isa Lo Takum LaHajiban Pe Yenuka Agisa Leflein Ba. A woman shouldn't relieve herself in front of a child, right? It's inappropriate for a woman to expose herself in front of a child, even though it's only a child, but still it's inappropriate. So a woman should not expose herself to have to go to the bathroom. But if it's Agisa, but if it's on her side, meaning it's she's not facing the child, but she's rather on the side, so Leflein Ba, that would be okay. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Gamla Omer Amura Choser Mivi Hadam Lide Hadrakon. So if you have to go number two, Amura Choser, Rashi says Gedolim. Right? Gedolim is number two, Kitanim is number one. Right? They also had their ways of saying it. So Amura Choser, so if you hold in number two, maybe Adam Lide Hadrakon, so it leads to some sort of stomach ailment. Silun HaChoser, Silon Achozer number one, right? If you hold in your urine, maybe Adam Lide Yerakon, it leads to some sort of Yerakon. You want to call that jaundice? Again, you know, I'm not informed enough to really give you good explanations. Amar Rav Baravuna, Amar Rav Kitin, Amar Eish Lakish, Dam Rabah, Shchin Rabah. Too much blood will lead to Shchin. Okay, so, and back then in the times of the Gemara, you know what you do when you have too much blood? So bloodlet, right? That was there. That was the therapy of choice. Shichva zera, Rabbah. If you have too much shichva zera, so tsaras, Rabbah. Okay. Tsoa, Rabbah. Hidrakon, Rabbah. So too much waste, number two, leads to hidrakon. And may raglayin, Rabin, yirakon, Rabbah. Okay. I don't fully understand all these Gemaras, but okay. Ruach ketsarim bas alav mainihu. Okay, we're back to the Mishnah. We're back to explaining the Mishnah. So the Mishnah now described a Kohen who is suffering from Ruach Kitzarim, literally shortness of breath. Rashi says he was possessed by a demon. Why does Rashi say that? Basically because the Gemara says it right now. Ma'ini utan Ruach ben Nefalim ba'alav. He has the spirit of ben Nefalim. Ben Nefalim is some sort of shade, some sort of entity. As everyone knows, I'm currently learning Derech Hashem, so the Ramchal's Derech Hashem. So in there, he goes into great detail in terms of describing the various spiritual entities. You know, so the Malach is a pure spiritual entity, a shade, right, which really doesn't enter into this world at all, into the physical world at all, but then there's the shade. The shade is, you know, kind of somewhere in between being a spiritual entity and a physical entity. Again, this is all the Ramchal's view on it. And so it's, again, from the Ramchal standpoint and from Rashi's standpoint, and I would say from most people's standpoint, so it's possible. It's possible to be possessed. I know it doesn't sound very rational, but, you know, you're never going to find consensus even amongst the quote unquote the firm world. You're never going to find consensus of whether we should be, you know, rationalists or non-rationalists. Ha-mi'ushvan uval gever. The last thing the Mishnah was describing was a Kohen whose either his beitzim were too large or his gid was too large. Tana mishuvan ke bebeitzim uval gever begid. Okay, so the Braisa tells us that the mishuvan is talking about the beitzim and the balgever is talking about the gid. Tana mishuvan zehakyan hagravasan. I'm sorry, mishuvan zehakayan. Okay. A word that was used back then that described Mishuvan, they understood it, not necessarily us. Hagravasan is the Balkik. The Gravasan is the Balkik. Stay tuned, we're going to discuss that later this morning. And Kain Bebeitz, Balkik, Kin Bebeitzin, Gravasa begin. Okay. The Ad Kama, so how large is too large? So Machvi Rabbi Huda, Ad Rechuva until the knee. Tanya Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Ad Rechuva Pasal, Amalam and Rechuva Kasher. Below the knee is pasul, above the knee is kasher. Iga da amri ad rechuva kasher lamatam and rechuva pasul. Now this version has it where up to the knee it's kasher, below the knee is going to be pasul. Ein lo beitzim o ein lo ela beitza achas hareza meruch asha chamor betorah. Okay, there is a condition that the Torah describes. It's called meruch ashach. I told you the Torah gives a very brief description of those things that shall disqualify a Kohen from performing the Avodah. So it's a short list. It's really really not much detail. But one of them is described in the Torah as Meruach Ashach. What does that actually mean? The Mishnah here is going to give us no less than four opinions in terms of what it means to be Meruach Ashach. The Mishnah says ein lo beitim or ein lo ela beitza achas hariz meruach ashach. So pshat number one is that he's either missing both beitim or just missing one beitza. That is considered meruach ashach, right? How does it come from the words themselves? Hard to see. Meaning ashach may be a term used for the beitim. Okay, I don't have another word I don't have a synonym for it. Okay, fine. And that is opinion number one. Rabbi Shmuel Amar kol shenimucho ashchav. Opinion number two of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel says that it's nimuach. What's nimuach? Kind of like wasted away. Rabbi Kiva Amar kol sheruach ba'ashchav. Opinion number three is it's puffed up, it's bloated. Bloated baits him. And finally, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Amar Kol Shemarin Chashuchin. And Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus is going to go off the board. Meaning, up until now, opinions 1, 2, and 3, all were assuming that Meruch Ashach is a reference to some sort of physical deformity of the Beitzim. And Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus says, no, it has nothing to do with the Beitzim. It has to do with the color of the skin. And he says, Meruch Ashach, if you are... What's the language of the Mishnah? Marin chashuchin, if you look dark, if your skin is dark. So that would be a disqualifying blemish. Yeah. I don't know how dark is dark, so. don't be fooled by the Ashkenazim, by the way. The Ashkenazim are, in other words, they're not the baseline. So. Huh? I'm saying I wouldn't start, and I'm speaking as an Ashkenaz, I wouldn't start as the Ashkenaz as being your baseline of what dark is. your center is, if I'm going to guess, and probably correctly, the center of the standard deviation is not Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz, I would put somewhere one, if not two, standard deviations away from, quote unquote, what is the baseline. It comes right, right. Right, right. It's right. It does not sound like Jews were not as white as I speak on behalf of the Ashkenazim as we are. Okay, Kashya Leila Rabbi Yishmael. So the Gemara is going to do basically. It's a short Gemara. It's going to just go step by step through the Mishnah, because basically what you're seeing in the Mishnah is four opinions of what Maruch Hashach is, and the Gemara is just going to explain why did each Tana dismiss the previous Tana's explanation. Now, the Gemara could go on. It doesn't, but the Gemara could go on, because then obviously there's going to be rebuttal, and, you know, it could, you know, each position is rejecting three positions, so really the Gemara could go on, but the Gemara is going to be very short and punctuated. Kashle Rabbi Shmuel HaChaser Ashach Mi Ba'ele. Look, the Tana Kama says you're missing Beitzim. So Rabbi Shmuel says, yeah, but Meruch Ashach sounds like something happened to the Beitzim. It should be something more like you're missing Beitzim, right? Chaser Ashach, the Torah should say. Tanish and Nimrchu Ashchav. So therefore, so that's why he went with there was a crush of the Beitzim. Kasher Leila Rabbi Akiva. Now we move on to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "Hi, Mam Ruach Ashach Min Ba'elei. If it's crushed, so the Torah should use some a language of mamreach or miruach, right? Right, memareach, for example, one of the Lamentes Malachos, right? To smooth something out, to crush something out. The Torah should have used a double mem. So tanish haruach ba'ashchav. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva says it's a bloated beitzah. Kashla Rabbi Chanina ben Tiknas. And finally, we get to the fourth pshat of the Mishnah, which is haruach hashach mi ba'ile. If you're right, meaning that there's air in the beitzah, it's a bloated beitzah, so then the Torah should have used the language of Ruach Ashach. So, Tanish Shemarev Chashuchin. So therefore, he's going to give what he believes is the correct shot, and that is Marev Choshech. Now, how did you get there? The Gemara explains. Kasavar Goren Mosifim V'dorshin V'dorshin. Okay. And what we do, and now that we all have computers, so it's all so simple to understand now. And that is a little cut and paste. Mm-hmm. In other words, what he does is he takes the ches from Meruach, he takes the Aleph from Ashech, and he flips him. So it's Mar'eh Choshech. He looks dark. Okay? Do you have the right to do that? Mm-hmm. Subject to debate in the Gemara. Obviously, Rabbi Chanan and Tikna says, yeah, you can do that. What comes out now is that Meruach Ashech is a reference to, basically, a Kushi. And what bothers the Gemara now is it's coming up in the Mishnah, that a Kushi cannot do the Avoda. So what comes out now is that it's a repeat performance of what's coming up later on. Hainu Kushi, Rabbi Chanan ben Tiknas, lo tani Kushi. Simple solution.
Didn't Pinchas marry Yitro's daughter was a Kushi?
Yeah, so, and that would mean then that the children... I guess we'd have to see how the children came out. Okay. Okay, that takes us now through, and I told you, it's a little bit interesting because, in other words, most of the seventh parak deals with Category 2. Category 2 and a Shavala Zarashal Ara. Okay? And this Mishnah kind of took a break, and the Mishnah went back to Category 1 because Meruach Hashech obviously is listed in the Torah, and so, still, trying to figure out, what is Meruach Hashach? What is Rashi and Chumash saying? Anyone remember? Rashi goes, I'm reading Rashi and Chumash, this is just my curiosity now. Meruach Hashach, lefi atargum, meris pachdin, shepachtav merosasim, shebeitzim shalo kitutim. Crushed. Crushed beitzim. Okay, that's Rashi and Chumash. So who did he follow? He followed Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. Mishnah. Okay, we're on the very bottom of Mem Dala Amid Beis. Mekish Bekarsalav Uva Arkosav. Right, everyone have a good picture of Charlie Chaplin in their head. Okay? Yeah, right, I can make that reference. It's not a modern reference, it's okay. I can't. Okay, so bow-legged. Right, so Mekish Bekarsalav Uva Arkavosav. Okay, so Rashi explains Arkavosav Okmos Lechutz. So the knees are going outside, v'karsalov lefnim, and the ankles are inside. Okay, Charlie Chaplin. V'nosin zelazeh kishuhu mahalech v'arkavosav hainu ipcha. Now, uva arkavosav, just the opposite. Sheraglav akumos lechutz, where your knees are in and your ankles go out. Umarchik zemizeh, shirk arvaksav lamala akumos kalpi panim, nokshu zelazeh. And your knees knock against one another. Okay? So either way is no good, right? We're clearly now back in the world of Enu Shavla Zarusha Aram. Okay. Back now, it's back to the Mishnah, top of Memhamad Aleph. Ubal HaPikim. Rashi has the Vihaiko. Okay. Bal HaPikim Vihaiko. So what is this? So the Mishnah now is going to explain. Ezehu HaIko. So Mishnah is going to go a little out of order here. So first the Mishnah is going to explain. Iko. Kol Shehu Mekiv Parsasav. The Ein Arkasav Nokshu Zula Zeh. Your knees knock against one another. Yeah, it sounds like a repeat of what the Mishnah started off with. Sounds that way. Rashi over here describes that this is seen when the person is sitting. You take a look at that first line of Rashi on the top of the page. Kishi Yosheva Mechaber Prasos Raglav Zula Zu. The Ein Arkasav Nokshu Zula Zu Sheukmos Kalpi Chutz. So when he's sitting, right, when he's sitting, he can't have his knees together. He can't hold his knees together. Pika, yotse megod lo. Now, pika is an extra digit that comes out of his godel. Now, chatichas basar agul kepika yotse megod lo. So out of your thumb comes now an extra digit. Not that uncommon. I don't have the percentages for you. Maybe he does. So not that uncommon, but, right, so you're born with an extra digit. That would. You've never seen an extra digit?
On your thumb? I've seen
coming out of the hand.
I've seen
that. Sure.
Totally extra.
Well, hold on a second. Pika yotze mi godlo. Akeva yotze la chorav. Now, you know when you stand, so your leg basically hits the back end of your foot. Right? This deformity that we're describing right now is basically where your leg comes down almost to the center of your foot. So you don't just have a heel, you have like, thank you, medical term, I'll borrow that from you. So, akeva yotze lachor, parsosav rachvosh kishal ives, your feet are wide, wide and I guess flat, like that of a goose. Okay, I have flat feet. Etzba osav markvot zu al zu, your fingers ride on top of one another. Now, when we say etzba osav, by the way, you understand, right? We're not necessarily talking about the hand. Godel means thumb, could also mean big toe. Etzba osav could mean your fingers, the rest of your digits on your hand, or digits of your feet. Sounds like in the context of this mission, we're describing the fingers of the feet, otherwise known as the toes. Etzba osav markavozu alzu, oklutos lamala adaperik. Or your toes are fused together. You don't have separated toes. Let me do this better. Klutos lamala ada perek kasher. Lamata min aperek v'chatcha kasher. So if they're fused together, just at the tips, that's okay. If they're fused together below the tips, meaning closer to the foot, that's not okay, but you can cut. And if you cut and separate, Mishnah says that's fine, that you would be kasher. Haisabas yiseres v'chatcha imish ba'etzem pasal. Now let's go back to our extra digit. If you have an extra digit and you cut it off, but there was a bone there, in other words, sometimes there's an extra digit with no bone. It's just a flap of flesh, right? And you just, they cut it off and that's it. Sometimes it has a bone, and if it does, and you cut it off, so you are still puzzled. Rashi, it's interesting, Rashi. Rashi says, why are you puzzled if you cut it off? Hol v'chatcha sh'arehu mechusar aver. If it's just a piece of flesh, we had this terminology before, tilto ba'ama. It's okay. Just a, an extra flesh hanging off, that you can cut off no problem. But if it's a digit with a bone, an extra digit with a bone, and you cut it off, so that's a limb, and now you are mechusar aver. Right, fascinating, meaning while it was on you, it was no good because it was too much. Now that you cut it off, now you're mechusar aver. Right, lose-lose situation, if you will. The imlav kasher, right, but with no bone, it would be fine. Yesu biyadavu viraglav, sheish v'sheish esrim v'arba'a. Rav Yehuda Machshir v'chacham and poslim. Six digits on each hand, six digits on each toe, you're now up to 24. So, that is, interestingly enough, subject to a debate. Rav Yehuda says, you're kasher, and the chachamim say you're pasul. Now, it's interesting because one extra digit, the Mishnah did not present any debate whatsoever. One extra digit for sure is no good. But now you're symmetrical. You have six on one hand, six on the other hand, six toes on each foot. Now you're symmetrical, granted that you are quote-unquote abnormal, right? That's not normal, but you are symmetrical. Rebbe says that would be fine. Okay, you could do this on your own. There's a baseball player with this condition. Did you know? Yeah, believe it or not, I get to share this really, really nonsense trivia with you. His name is he pitched for the Marlins. That's
pitcher.
Yeah, his name is Antonio Alfonseco.
That's not the pitcher that won the World Series.
Did he pitch in the World Series? I don't remember. But he was a reliever. Oh, Phil knows.
Oh, wow.
So he pitched for the Marlins, and he had this, what we're describing now in the Mishnah. He had six on each hand and six on each toe. You know, may I share with you what his nickname was? Right, well, wonderful. You have to know Spanish to really appreciate this. Any good Spanish speakers in this room? El Pulpo, which in Spanish means the octopus. Okay, sorry for wasting very precious time right now. We're back. So Hasholeit, yeah, it was actually pretty good. His extra digit, we got to really have to stop. His extra digit came out over here. So it wasn't on his thumb. It was like another pinky.
Just spinning his
fastball. Pitchers, Hedy, thank God you don't know this information. Pitchers, when they hold the ball, they don't hold it with all fingers. They hold it with maybe three fingers. Sometimes four. Sometimes a four finger. But I'm saying it doesn't. It didn't. It's great to tell over because people get excited. Oh, you know, you know what the spin he could put on the ball, huh? He had both hands and both feet. He was exactly what we're describing over here. Okay, so Haisa by Yisera's. I'm sorry. So Machlokes between Rebbe Yehuda. I don't know. Machlokes between Rebbe Yehuda and the Chacham. Hashola b'shtei yadav. Now, what if you're ambidextrous? So, again, machlokas, Rebbe posel v'chacham and makshir, Rebbe says you're posel, and the chachamim say that it is kasher. Now, it's interesting, the Mishnah does not discuss, right, what's the elephant in the room?
Left-handed.
Yeah. Right, the Mishnah...
That's a given that they have to be...
Ah, okay, fine. So we're going to discuss that later on. I don't know if we're going to get to it today. I'd hope we are, but that's going to be great, though, because it's not explicitly stated in the Mishnah, and it really is the elephant in the room, because the Mishnah kind of like jumped to the ambidextrous person and, well, what do you mean? Well, what's wrong with the left-handed person? So we'll talk later on. Not about what's wrong with him, but whether he could do the avoda. Tana Rabbanan. Shever regal, ain li ela shever regal. Menan la rabos, hikishan v'haiko v'hakilban. Right? Where do we get these from? So Talmud Lomar, oh, shever regal. So we darshan it from the word oh. Which I guess begs the question, meaning what now, which category are we putting it in now? Because it sounds like we're darshaning it from the psukim, but we're not really darshaning it from the psukim. It's a ribui. In other words, it's with the word o. So I am unsure, we require more investigation, whether the Gemara is now saying it's category one, because we're darshaning it, or it's kind of like an asmacht, if you will. Unclear. So Talmud Lomar o shever regel. Tana with Antana Braisa, Bal Hakipon. All right, I have over here swollen ankles. I may be right. Hashufnar. Right? Any good guesses what that is? I don't know. I'm Rabbi Chia Barab, I'm Rabbi Yochan Bala Pikin Sheishlo, Ksasos Harbe. Shufnar She'ein Lo Ksasos Kol Ikar. We're describing where he has. He has ankles. He has no ankles. big ankles, no ankles. Very difficult to really put my finger on what we're trying to describe over here. Pika yotze migodlo, v'ikavo yotze la'achorav. Okay? Pika is where it comes out of his thumb, and ikavo yotze la'achorav, it comes out from the back. In other words, extra, either digits or extra flesh. Amar avalazer shoka yotze be'emza raglo. The foot goes into the center, I'm sorry, if his leg comes down into the center of his foot, so he has more than just the heel. Parsasavra chavos kashal ives, amra papalo tema de trefa velo sedika, ela kevin de trefa afagav de sedika. Trefa over here not meaning trefa as we know it. Trefa over here just simply means wide. There are two basic properties of the feet of a goose. Okay? It's wide and it has no toes.
Webbed.
It's webbed, right. It's right, webbed and has no it's wide. So what essentially the Gemara wants to now know is, when we say that the Kohen's foot resembles that of an Ives, which property are we really focusing on? So that's Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Lo tema, don't say trefa velo seduka, vela keva de trefa afagav de seduka. It could be defined toes, but once it's wide, it's no good. So wide feet is no good. Okay, again, there's still not enough information to know what's considered wide, meaning what shoe size do you have to be getting, right? Triple E before you're now puzzle. Etzba osav murkava zu agav zu o klutos. Tanu rabbanan. Sheva yad en liel sheva yad. Etzba osav murkavos o klutos lamalam in a perik vechatchan ham. I'm sorry, vechatchan. So the Gemara again darshens it from the psukim, right? Sheva yad. So how do I know? So the Gemara first of all pauses. Let's pause for just a moment. What do you mean? If you cut it, didn't we say that that's okay? V'amart kashar, ela v'lo chatchan. So we're going to just correct the braisa. It's fused together and you didn't cut it. Minan tamalomer, o shever yad. So we're going to darshan out from the word o. Haisa, but you say, v'chatchan yesh bo etzem pasu v'yim lav kashar amara, baba b'chan amara v'yochanan, v'hu shenisperes al gabe hayad. An extra digit is only going to be good. No. An extra digit is only going to be pasul only if it's counted with the rest of the fingers. Meaning it's in a row of your hand together with the rest of your fingers. Tana Rabban Yaser Shesh Ba Etzam Ve'em Ba Tziporin Metame B'mag V'masa Metame B'Oal V'Ola L'Minyan Kuf Chaf Hei. Now, we're going to see this again. In the world of Tumas Mace, we're going to talk now about how the extra finger can also be counted towards Tumas Mace. When Amar Abba Bar Chanan, Rav Yochanan, Misperes Al Gav Hayad, only when it's not just a little bit of extra coming out of the hand, but it has to be in coordination with the other fingers. So, in other words, when you open your hand, you actually can are able to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and without having to go awkwardly to the side, but 6. That mamish comes in a row with your hands. Now, just a little bit of background before we continue in the Gemara. We know that in order for human remains to give off tumas ohel, it's either kezayis min hameis, meaning kezayis of flesh, or bone. But not one bone, not two bone, either rov banav or rov minyanav. Either the bones that make up the majority of the height of the person, the femur, the, what's the one below the femur? Femur, tibia. Okay? Put those two together. Make up the majority of the height of a person. That's rov binyanav, or rov minyanav. Now the Gemara is going to assume the 248 bones in the human body. Okay, modern anatomy has it somewhere around 206. Not a big deal, because no, I'm being 248.
Right.
Ramach evarav. Right. Because. Right, I was going to say it's really not a big deal. It's just a question of how to count. The Chachamim counted it differently than modern anatomy does. Okay, it's really not a big deal. They count 248. So if you have majority of 248, I'll do the math for you. 125, huh? I don't know how teeth are counted. I don't. Okay, 248. Majority of 248 is 125. So if you have 125 bone of the human body, so then it gives off Tumas Ohel. And now what we're saying is that if the bones that we're using to count happens to be from an extra digit, you can count it. Even though that person obviously is going to have more than 248 bones. Doesn't matter. You can count that towards your count, but only with a finger that goes in alignment with the other fingers. Okay? That's the basic punchline of the Gemara. I'll read it inside. If it has a bone, but it doesn't have a fingernail, it's not metame ba'ohel. Yeah, when is that going to be? When that extra digit is not in alignment with his hand, so that bone is not counted. So I'm Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says, but I'm so confused, says Rav Yochanan. Also, to divrem kedivrei nevius, they're like talking like neviim, meaning it's not a compliment. They're talking like neviim, meaning they're just saying things, no explanation. I don't know where he got it from. Meaning, what's going on? If it has a fingernail, he counted. If it doesn't have a fingernail, we're not going to count it. Like, bottom line, is it considered part of the human anatomy? Is it not? What difference does it make? It has a fingernail. So mano shachi everhu baol nami titame v'ilav everhu b'magav masal nami lo titame. And moreover, if it's not considered an aver, it shouldn't give off tuma at all. Meaning not tumas ohel, not tumas maga, not tumas masa, nothing. So Rav Yochanan says, like, what are they talking about?
But if it's got bone and flesh, why wouldn't it be an aver?
Because it's not part of the normal structure of a quote-unquote normal human being. So Amar Rav Huna bar Menoch, Mishmei Darav, Acha, Berei Daravika, Mishum Etzem Kesar Naguba. So he says it's very simple. Basically, Ben, he answers what you answer, which is, look, I won't count it as a digit of the human being, but it's still a bone. Meaning, we'll treat it like a bone. A bone gives off Tumas Mago Masa. Rav Papa Amar Gzera Shemin Nisperes Atum Nisperes. Now, Rav Papa explains like this. If the digit, the extra digit, is not in alignment with the rest of his fingers, I'm still going to count that. Why? Because gzera, rabbinic decree. So the Gemara says, and you understand, because the next human remains that has the extra digit, maybe his fingers are in alignment, and this time I didn't count it, so maybe I won't count it next time. So you know what? We're always going to count it. So achishen esperes ba'ol nami tatame. Well, if it's a gzera, so why don't we always count it towards Toma, not just Tumas Maga Masa, Tumas Oel as well. Abdurabanan Heker Kechadol Lister for Alai Truma Vakachim. Second time in the Masechta that we've pointed to this idea. When the Chachamim impose the Tuma, they'll give us like a little signal, a little sign to tell us this is only Tuma Durabana, not Tuma Daraisa. What's the sign? It doesn't give, it's not going to give off Tumas Oel. Even midrabanan, that's just a tip off that the chachamim are telling us, it's not a tumah daraisa. If it comes into contact with truma, I won't burn the truma. Tanan hasam quickly. Rov bin yanav v'rov bin yanav shal meisaf b'shem bo rova tamein. Tanu rabanan ezu rov bin yanav shnei shokayim v'yerech echad. I don't know why the gemara points to two tibia. Maybe because of the two bones running below the femur?
Right, tibia fibia.
Right, tibia fibia. Okay, maybe that. And the shoke and the femur. The yerech echad and the hip bone. Ho v'rov gavo begadol, because that constitutes the majority of the height of a human being. Ezu rov minyanav kuf chaf hei. 125. Again, their count of the bone structure of the human is 248. Majority 125. Amalei ravin l'rav atanim minyanav salashmina. Now, the Gemara says, look, I need the Tana for a lot of things. I don't need the Tana to count. Meaning, you tell me 248, you tell me majority, like, we'll do the math. Like, I need the Tana to count for us. So, Kamash Malan, Kedetanya Chaser, Shein Bo Ela Masayim, V'yesa Shein Bo Masayim U'shmonim, V'echad Kulan Olin L'minyan Kuf Chaf Hey. Zil Basar, Ruba De'inshi. So, the Gemara says, yeah, because I'll tell you why. I do need the Tana to count. Because some people have less than 248, some people have more than 248, as we just learned over the course of today's daf. 125 is your number. Meaning, since for the average human, that's going to constitute the majority, for Tuma, we follow the average. Even if this person, right, this person who may have had more than 248 And for him, 125 wouldn't be a majority. It doesn't matter. Once you have 125 bones of human remains of that individual, even though for him it's not the majority, since for the average it's the majority, that's why 125 is your number to give off to Mas'oha. Okay, we left off in a very exciting place. Come back tomorrow. A lot of you asked me, how do they know about human anatomy? So that'll be the beginning of tomorrow's daf.